Okay, tonight we continue in our series on the doctrines of grace, and we're in the subject on the subject of the perseverance of the saints. And tonight we're looking at perseverance, looking at it from the divine side tonight, the divine side of perseverance. And we're looking at the divine side of perseverance. You're looking at the fact that that the Lord preserves us. That it is so. Preservation is the divine side of perseverance. And we'll think about the power to persevere tonight. The fact that we don't have in and of ourselves, even as believers, the power to persevere and to continue in the faith. It's all, if salvation is of grace as it is, it's all of grace. It's all by God's grace, whether it be the initiating part of salvation where we come to trust in the Lord as our Savior, or whether it be keeping on in that faith and having that faith persevere all the way till the end. That's all of God's grace, we believe, and believe the scriptures do teach that. And so when we're thinking about perseverance, the main thing about the perseverance of the saints is the fact that God's promise is that he's going to preserve us. That he's promised us that the everlasting life that he's promised is something he's going to maintain, that he's going to keep unto the end. So, first of all, there's that promise that Christ is the good shepherd. And John chapter 10, verse 27 to 30, we'll read about that in John, the 10th chapter. So, John 10. And we start in verse 27. And he already said that some of the people who were there in his presence were not his sheep. He says, but you believe, verse 26, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. So unbelievers have no assurance that they are of the sheep of the Lord. Verse 27, my sheep, those that are truly his, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He says his sheep, he says he gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And so the sheep, the ones who are God's chosen people, who've been given to Christ, the scripture says here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Well, those that are his, and he says in verse 29, my Father which gave them me, the sheep have been given by the Father to the Son. He keeps them. He's responsible, and he takes the responsibility, and he's faithful in his duty, the Son is, in keeping those that have been given unto him of the Father. None of them will ever perish. And so Christ is that good shepherd. He's like a shepherd, and he's the best shepherd there ever was. He is the good shepherd that takes care of his sheep, and if one goes stray, then he goes looking for it and brings it back. He's the good shepherd that cares for his sheep and is going to preserve, is going to keep them, and they'll never perish, according to the scripture here. Next thing is, some have the opinion in looking at that passage of scripture that, okay, the Lord will never cast me out, but I can jump out of the Father's hand or something like that. I could do it on my own volition, on will. Well, if we're really the Lord's people, then that is not going to happen. And one of the reasons is the promise is like that in Jeremiah chapter 32. So Jeremiah, if you, and now we're digging way back in the Old Testament here. Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 32, and we see a promise that God made when he's going to restore, he's going to save the people, go back to Israel again and begin to save the people of Israel again. And he says in chapter 32, verse 39 and 40, he speaks about that restoration and that salvation that he's going to bring. It says there, "And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever." Okay, first of all, he said, I'm gonna give them a heart, kind of a heart, that they may fear me forever. In other words, they'll respect him forever for the good of them. So for their good, they're gonna love him forever. They're gonna fear him forever, and of their children after them. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good." So to do them good, I'm not going to turn away from them. "But I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart from me." So he's the part of the promise that God makes concerning salvation is that those who are truly his, he secures them by putting something in their heart. He puts his fear and his respect in their heart, so that they won't leave him, so that they just simply will not depart. And so that's part of, you know, you say, well, why is it that I'm not going to depart from the Lord tomorrow? Why am I not going to do that? And you say, well, it's because I'm going to choose not to depart. I'm going to be one that is valiant, and I'm going to choose that I'm not going to depart. I just don't want to do that. Well, really, if we answered that question, any child of God that would answer that question would probably say, because the Lord's going to keep us. The Lord's going to preserve us. He's going to take care of us. And that would be a better response. But then 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, another way of looking at it is all the way to the end, God is going to confirm us. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and 9. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, talking about waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also, so in respect to that coming, the time that he comes back again in the future, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, hey, the Lord is going to confirm us unto the end. He's going to secure us all the way to the end, that we might be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is the perseverance of the saints is not just them persevering, but it is them persevering because of God's confirming and God's assurance and God's preservation, the preserving that he's doing all the way till the end. And then in Philippians chapter 1, we find that concept of God completing what he starts. So in Philippians chapter 1, again, the preservation of the saints. So first of all, salvation has taken place, and we've come to faith, repent, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We've come to faith in Christ, and after we've come to faith in Christ, then what happens? Well, what is happening is that God has started, when we came to faith in Christ, he started a work within us. And he's that start of that work is something that he doesn't give up on. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says there, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so he's saying the salvation that we have is the start, that our coming to faith in Christ is the start of that good work that the Lord does within us. And he continues to do it until the day of Jesus Christ is the promise of God's word. Paul's saying we're confident of that. We have that confidence that of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's going to keep performing that work of securing us, of keeping us as his until the day of Jesus Christ, as he says. And so that's the time of the coming of Christ. And then And then there's the idea and the concept of the thought that you could fall away. And there's no doubt but what, from a human standpoint and from the standpoint of being a sinner, that any one of us can fall and can stumble into sin, and we can fall greatly into sin. We know the example of David, of his fall into sin with Bathsheba. And there's the fall into sin in many cases in the Word of God of people come into fall and sin. Simon Peter, he totally denied the Lord. And there's an example of a person that, if anybody should fall away, or if anybody would fall away, there's a man that just completely denied the Lord and denied him three times before the cock crowed. So there's, you know, that idea that, okay, then he's a denier, so he's not the Lord's person, the Lord's man anymore. Well, the Lord, he keeps us from falling. Jude verse 24 and 25, so right before the book of Revelation, Jude in verse 24, just one chapter in Jude. Jude 24 and 25, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So we're going to be in the presence of the Lord with exceeding joy, faultless. And we're going to be there because he's able to keep us from falling, and he does so. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And so we give him the glory because he's the one who's keeping us from falling as his people. And then it is about God's power in all of this. You know, you think about God seems to be making this promise, which now calls into question the power of God. You know, is God's promise good? Is he, not only is he faithful, but is he powerful enough to accomplish that? Is he powerful enough over Satan? Because Satan would love to defeat us. Is he powerful enough over the world? And the world would love to defeat us. And is he powerful enough over our sin? And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, tell us, assure us that he is. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, "Too, he's begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 3, verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." So we've got an inheritance that's waiting for us and that never fades away. It's for us. But it's for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So he's keeping us, and he's keeping us in faith. He's keeping us through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so he's the one who assures our place in heaven. He's the one who's assuring that the inheritance that's an incorruptible inheritance is going to be ours, that's an undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven. He's going to assure that our reservation is kept in heaven. And so, but it's by his power, who are kept by the power of God. And so the promises of these promises about the preservation of the saint are promises that just simply call into question. It puts the power of God on the line, and God's power is strong enough. So whenever the time comes when somebody has done what we might refer to as falling away, someone has completely departed, it appears that they've departed from the faith, it appears that they don't know the Lord at all, but the issue is not that God's power is called into question and that God hasn't been powerful enough to keep them, it's that he never started the work in them to begin with. It's the fact that what they had never was really a salvation from God, that they had they've made a profession of faith, that they have done something externally that wasn't a true internal work of God within their heart. And so the Word of God shows us that's a reality as well in a number of places. But ultimately, what all the perseverance of the saints is the fact that the God who has saved us is the God that keeps us, and he's on our side. If he saved us from our sin, he loves us, he cares about us, he's going to keep us, he's going to preserve us, he's on our side. And that's what the scriptures say rather clearly. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, and we know the verse, he says, the Lord is making the promise, and of course this is a quote from out of the Old Testament as well, but it is that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, so verse 5 says, let your conversation, your way of life, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So for those who are the Lord's people, they have this promise that the Lord is never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. And so the perseverance of the saints is predicated on the promise that God will not leave his people, that they're his. It's like they're his children. There's nothing going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. And then that takes us to Romans chapter 8, verse 30 and 31, which is kind of one of the verses that one of the passages that we've looked at a lot, because it makes real clear a number of the things about God's grace and salvation and his what he's accomplished for us. And verse 30 and 31 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. He says, the ones he justifies, he glorifies. And we've looked at this already, but that's part of the perseverance of the saints, is the fact that they are going to be glorified if they've been justified. So if a person truly has been justified by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're cleared of their fault before the Lord, then he's going to glorify them. What shall we say then to these things when we think about that, and that the Lord's going to do that? If God be for us, who can be against us? And so he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So he's saying, what shall we say? Well, it's back to Hebrews chapter 13 where it said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he's saying, the scripture is saying here, hey, if God's for us, who can be against us? And so there's a God puts himself out on the line through the Word of God as it pertains to the perseverance of the saints in saying that he's going to keep us, that he's the one that's preserving us, and we give him the glory for causing us to persevere all the way unto the end. So that's all we had tonight.